What's happening?
What's out there?
What's going on?
In the Arctic.
In the Northern Bering.
In the U.S. Chukchi Sea.
In the Northern Bering and Chukchi Seas.
This is the first of four stories about the Arctic Ecosystem Integrated Survey, or Arctic ICE. It's a big project, one that has scientists examining all aspects of the marine ecosystems of the Northern Bering and Chukchi Seas.
Being a scientist, you want to know everything.
We're interested in
king crab, snow crab, Arctic cod, pollock.
The salmon that you love.
Ice melt.
Food web.
Climate change.
There's so many questions.
Are they consuming prey items that are more from the seafloor?
How that relates to environment.
What that species is.
How the biology of the Chukchi Sea works.
This is a team that you would want out there in the field doing the research.
Support for this story comes from research grants from the North Pacific Research Board, the Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management, and the Alaska Coastal Impact Assistance Program. Music by I Am Dism and DJ Alternative. I'm Amanda Compton. The objective of the Arctic ICE Research Project is to progress toward a better understanding of the physical, chemical, and biological processes taking place in the Northern Bering and Chukchi Seas. The ICE in the Arctic ICE Project, that's EIS, stands for Ecosystem Integrated Survey. ICE is also the German word for ice, the frozen water kind of ice. The name of the project was coined by the lead principal investigator.
My name is Franz Mütter. I'm an associate professor of fisheries at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. We conducted a fairly comprehensive fisheries survey that spanned the Northern Bering Sea and the Chukchi Sea, which had not been sampled very much at all in the last few decades.
The project studies oceanographic information like nutrient flow and water currents, things that live in the water column like algae, and organisms that live on the seafloor, like crabs. Scientists are looking at how these components interact with each other and what we could expect if things change. The entire research team consists of over 60 scientists and graduate students from various organizations like the University of Alaska Fairbanks and NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and Fish and Game. Each participating group has a slightly different objective. For example, Fish and Game is more interested in the nearshore environment that supports species like salmon.
NOAA, in terms of managing fisheries resources, the Bureau of Ocean and Energy Management of managing offshore resources and potential impacts on the marine ecosystem, including fish.
A plankton biologist may be interested in what animals are eating plankton, what kinds of plankton they're eating, and in what temperature that plankton is growing. So why do this kind of work? In order to understand how the Arctic is changing, we first have to take a snapshot of what things look like right now. Despite all the attention placed on the Arctic in recent years, a lot of the information gathered during the Arctic ICE Project was the first of its kind to be collected.
This was the first survey that covered the entire Northern Bering Sea and Chukchi Sea in a systematic survey.
Lauren Devine is a PhD student studying snow crab. She was charged with gathering information for a stock assessment to determine if the Arctic region could support a viable snow crab fishery.
Because nobody has been doing research cruises in the Chukchi, we don't have any of that information for that region. It's kind of like a glaring gap. We know a lot about snow crab in the Atlantic. We know a lot about them in the Bering Sea, in the Sea of Japan. We kind of have this black box around the Chukchi Sea.
That black box includes information about the food for animals that many Arctic residents rely on. Some animals migrate north for the summer to feed on prey that's only available during the ice-free season. As Dr. Mütter explains, that has direct implications for the people that live there.
They depend on some of those seasonal migrants, like humpback whales, like walrus, like seabirds. That potentially poses a conflict with other resource development in the area, like oil and gas development.
While the ice-free season provides good feeding habitat for these migrant species, the presence of ice plays a critical role in the habitat for other animals. Arctic cod, for example, spawn under the ice. When the ice leaves, they do too. And the ice-free season is growing longer. These environmental changes will affect the animals that live in the Arctic.
There's certainly going to be species that benefit and other species that lose out. But who the winners are and who the losers are, we don't necessarily know.
Which is why taking a closer look at all the elements in the Arctic marine ecosystem makes sense. Jared Weems is the program manager of the Arctic Ice Project.
Putting all these things together for the first time gives us a benchmark to measure to the future. You can't identify change unless you have a baseline to compare it to.
That is a fundamental objective of the Arctic Ice Project, to get a baseline of just what is out there to put into a database accessible through the internet, with information on salmon abundance, ocean currents, seabird colonies, a database that is usable, not just by scientists working on the project, and there are hundreds of those, but by anyone. Again, here's Jared Weems.
All the data that you're interested will be at a finger's touch right there to the public as well as other scientists around the world.
Once the online component is complete, someone, say in Kotzebue, can head online
and explore based on what they might be interested in. A particular species, say snow crab, if they have a few pots out in Kotzebue Sound, and they use nets, they're interested in the subsistence resources that we were able to measure offshore.
Sharing the data, say both Weems and Dr. Muter, not only provides the public with valuable information, but promotes collaborative efforts with other scientists.
Just knowing what's out there and seeing what's been done really pushes scientists to strive forward, integrate that data, or ask new questions.
The total is more than the sum of its parts in the end. You have a lot more good science coming out of it and studies coming out of it that you didn't really envision in the beginning.
The research from the Arctic Ice Project can be used to address questions like, are there new seabirds coming into the Arctic? Will warming temperatures mean more pink and chum salmon shifting north? Can the Arctic support commercial fisheries? Which ones? These last questions about fisheries are sensitive to local communities with residents who depend on marine mammals that could be impacted if commercial fishing ever becomes legal. Right now, it's not. The North Pacific Fishery Management Council, the federal agency charged with managing the Arctic waters, made the most proactive decision they could, as Dr. Muter explains.
They developed a fishery management plan that basically said, no fisheries in Arctic Alaska until we know enough about the populations that we could possibly allow a fishery.
To responsibly manage a fishery, says Dr. Muter, you need to understand the basic biology of the target species.
How fast they grow, what they eat, basically their role in the food web. And that's all information that we're trying to gather through this project that we didn't really have before.
But fisheries are just one example of a bigger trend. The Arctic's getting hotter, not just in temperature, but in popularity. Fishing, oil and gas exploration, marine transportation, tourism.
We're interested in establishing a baseline of what's there and use that to monitor future changes, to be able to say whether human impacts, how they might affect the ecosystem, so we can monitor that in the future. That's sort of the big picture goals.
You've been listening to the first of four stories on an Arctic research project called Arctic Ice. For more information on the project, visit the Arctic Ice webpage on the University of Alaska Fairbanks website. Music by I Am Dism and DJ Alternative. In Juneau, I'm Amanda Compton.